Show Me the Way, episode 41, the original builder from the ground up, mind, body, and business. And ladies and gentlemen, what I really mean is he is the transformational business continuity entrepreneur. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be very excited about this episode. I am interviewing Chris Footy, great guy, fantastic human being. He has one of the great stories. Usually I talk about M&A's, exit planning, selling your business. This is a different podcast. This is about how you take something from absolute nothing and difficult circumstances and to build it into something monumental with a future that is very, very prospectively exciting. Chris is at age 44. He's right in the middle of all of this. He's going to give you the backstory. He's going to give you the history, but he's also going to help you look to the future. So it's going to address those individuals trying to figure out in the middle of their business where they've been, where they need to go. Please listen. This is going to be valuable for you going forward. Welcome to Show Me the Way, a podcast presented by Spencer Fain LLP about business continuity planning, the merger and acquisition experience, and successful exits. I am your host, Dave Sider. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me on today's show is Chris Foote, a great guy, an inspirational story of how he built his business from nothing to becoming a great entrepreneur and creating an even better model. Hey, listeners. This is going to be fun because in this episode, Chris will be talking about transforming your outlook on your life as well as your business and your body. Hey, Footy, welcome to the show.
Hey, David, it is an honor to be here. Now, I thought I got some, I got a little juice here then, man. I'm plucking my chest out a little bit more. Full transparency there. No, but thank you. It's an honor to be, on here and just the respect and how much admiration I have for you. It's truly an honor and anything I can do to give back and share my story and help you is always a win for me. Anytime I get to spend with you, sir, is a gift. So I'm just happy to be here. I mean that.
I know you do. And you are, if nothing else, the supreme gentleman. Let's start out and let the people get to know a little bit about you. Where were you born?
Yeah. So I was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's right. I forgot.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the home of Breaking Bad, right? So everyone always was talking right. about. But I ended up back there. But anyway, I lived there for a couple of years, and my family, my dad, biological dad, was a railroader. He ended up in Clovis, New Mexico, very, very small town. And him and my mom ended up there and shortly after divorced. And so my mom was a single mom raising two sons, and she really struggled. And like any single mom, you're out on your own, you have a hair salon, and so much respect for what my mom had to go through. And we spent time living with my grandparents. And fortunate enough to have grandparents to take us in. And some things, I always think of my mom so proud, and she likes this, hopefully I shine her in the best light possible. But I had a lot of struggles, and she really overcame those. And so I could spend all day on my mom. But anyway, small town kid, my mom remarried when I was, she got us back from my grandparents and got her life really together. She married my stepdad, who raised us. We grew up on a feedlot and just taught me how to work. And that was it. If I could say that's what kids need is structure. Gosh, you fight it so hard when you're a kid, David. And I'm sure I'll go through the same thing with my kids who are 9 and 7. What a blessing it was to be able to work. And so I grew up on a feedlot, and my mom and stepdad divorced when I was about 16, but still stayed close with him and forever grateful for those. So farm kid, grew up playing sports my whole life. That's really like the only thing I felt I was ever good at. So like most kids, just played sports your whole life. Went to Texas Tech University and went there to play sports as well. Very short career. And didn't love it. Dave, I think that's the thing about most of us. We figure out you think you love something, you go to the next level and you find out, man, it's your life. I thought it was a joke. You look at the schedule, you're like, they must be joking, right? You're over here complaining about 3 hours of playing basketball, football, and here they are, it's your full day. So anyway, went to Texas Tech where, made some really poor life decisions. And like most kids do, mine were catastrophic. But it's how you pick yourself up when you make those mistakes or I say this to any kid who's listening or a parent who has a kid who's struggling, you make mistakes and your kids, they got to figure it out. For me, my parents never stepped in. They let me deal with the medicine. You dealt it. You know what I mean? You're going to lay in the bed you made. I guess is the reference. I'm trying to scramble it for words there. But from there, got a ton of trouble. Went back to work for the feedlot, which is probably the greatest thing that ever happened. So went back to work for my stepdad. and figured out, you know what, I need to get my butt back in school. And I think that little fire under me, I went to Division II school where I met my wife there. I don't know why in God's green earth she went to Eastern New Mexico University, but she did. And she was from San Diego. Her mom lived out here.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I mean, why would you go there? She went to school, to clarify, but a bunch of her friends were going to small two Division II school that had a great PR program, the story she tells. So we met in college with my senior year and started making our way out west. Say something cool, David, that I think all of us, we have gifts inside of us and you know how we build a business, right? I love you saying it. So I'm trying to stay in my lane here. You know, my ADD kicks in, squirrel, run, jump, you know, jump into four stories and start four right. sentences. So hopefully I'm doing an okay job. But so end up graduate college and we made our way out west to Albuquerque. But before that, let me circle back. I think the greatest thing I learned about was a good work ethic, great. But when I was in college, I think I told you I got a little bit of trouble. So I was a little bit of trouble, you know, probation, oral, probation sounds a lot better. I started selling cars in college. And that kept me really busy, really focused. I was going to school full-time and working full-time. I learned so much about myself at business because talk about fear of rejection. You get over rejection and there's not a lot of opportunities when you're from. It's a very small town. One of my friends' dad owned a car dealership and that's kind of how it started. And I think you guys, and me and my buddy would be good at selling cars. We were waiting tables at the time. So anyway, that taught me so much that today.
This is why I know I like you so much, because when you get down to it, and you got to see Chris. Chris is a big man. He can tear people apart if he wanted to. He's not wired that way. But we're both mama's boys, number one.
Amen.
Number two, I learned in college as well when I played with and against former NHL players that I didn't have what it took. So it was real easy to figure out what was next in my life. So it sounds like we've been down the same road in a manner of speaking.
Hey, David, your greatest quote I've ever heard, for those of you who've never heard David talk about it, 0-11-1, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
When I heard about fell over laughing, I just thought, killed me. But yeah, you find out you're not very good. And you know what? You didn't love it to start with. Maybe you were good in your small town or good in your state. Yeah. So David, I'll circle back to the car selling thing. I think I learned that was something very scary and nerve-wracking for me. I'm a people pleaser and the fear of hearing no and all those things. But God, the lessons I learned and the relationships, right? I took those with me. Ended up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, made my way out west slowly, and then worked for a big gym and worked for a huge health club. Ended up being a general manager. There's five clubs and was in charge. And I was so grateful for the opportunities to get paid and learn all the things. And that's kind of what I figured out what I wanted to do in life. And I'll be honest, back then, they kind of propelled me in life is everyone I talked to, when are you getting a real job? You know, like, oh, gym. And I also trained people. And it was like, it just seemed like every client I ever trained back then, this is 2000, I'm 44 now. This is 2005, 6, 7. Even your clients would be like, you weren't making much money. And it's like, man, I love this. There's just kind of that social norm of, man, I should, you know, clients were always trying to give me a job somewhere. But I knew in my heart I was never meant to be working for a company. And I was never wired that way. And also it was my skill set too. I struggled massively with school and had some learning disabilities. And man, I just, a lot of insecurities there too. But I knew what my strengths were. And that started from selling cars and something I was so scared to death to do. And I just knew, like, my brain's different. I'm different than other people. And I didn't obviously know how to articulate it back then. But I knew my path was owning a gym because the only thing that brought me joy. So my wife and I decided, we got married, still working at the gym. We kept coming out to San Diego because her mom lived here. And I just saw an opportunity in this, you know, beautiful town, Coronado, California. For those of you familiar with San Diego, listening, it was just a magical place. And it was a small enough town where you didn't have to worry about a big gym putting you out of business. Like, the guy thought of the guy was an owner-operator. You live in paradise, suck it up. You could, you know, stay with relatives, whatever, if you're fortunate enough. And it's kind of how the path started. We had nothing to lose, Dave. And so we came out here and started the business.
Well, so what I take away from this, here's another thing of similarity. When I was in college, I tried to sell vacuum cleaners door to door for the same reason. And that is I got a buzz out of doing it, but also to make sure I could handle rejection and then overcome that and move on. So again, here's another thing where we line up together. And to your point, and I think one only at the end of the day learns through failure. But I'm also convinced that people, as long as you're walking around the face of the earth, people aren't failures. Certain behaviors and actions don't work. But human being what they are, they don't fail, per se, if you get up and go on. And that's the miracle of your story, because there's some people that they don't do that. And it's a sad deal. But you've picked up from your prior situations. You met a great lady, you figured out a situation, you went forward, and you're at a place now where you are quite the entrepreneur. So we're now, ladies and gentlemen, we have moved from Eastern New Mexico to Albuquerque, feedlot, and we're out in San Diego. Actually, we're on Coronado Island, where everybody in the Midwest would love to live if they could, except nobody can afford to live out there anymore. So congratulations, you got in at the right time. When you started your business, did you have a vision, like a 5, 10, 20-year vision?
Dave, honestly, yes, I would say about year 3, my vision came alive. I knew that I was a guy who wanted to start a gym and wanted to train people, right? I had that because I'd done that. And I think that was, and truth be told, to back up, I almost bought a gym in Albuquerque. And I said, oh, no, it was one of the places I worked for, one of the gyms I worked for.
Why did you say no?
For moving out here, it was like everything kind of along. We Patty and I talked about it. And we were like, yo, we could do this. We could take over this gym. But it was kind of like one of the nicer parts of Albuquerque. It was in the mountains. It was a smaller gym, which is ironic because that's basically, and that was the similarities. The gym I bought here in Coronado was the people. It was like you're dealing with some great, great people, and everyone's happy to see you, right? It's not like, you know, I mean this respectfully because I worked for a big chain gym. Let's be honest. You go to a big chain gym, it's like everyone's got their headphones. There's no heartbeat. There's no camaraderie there. There's no community. And that's not what they're trying to do. So anyway, we said no because we just felt like this was not our final destination. And I think most people in life will never take those risks. And I'm not saying take this, take calculated risk. But for us, we were at that fork in the road where, what do we have to lose, Dave? Like,
right.
And we have an opportunity to go live with my mother while we get, you know, have a place, we had a nice time in Albuquerque. Swallow your pride and let go of your ego and say, hey, listen, let's go on this journey together and be grateful that we have an opportunity. That was my mindset, to say, I'll take this opportunity today. So we made the most of our situation. Living with my mother-in-law was just incredible, right? Most people could never do that. They tell themselves they couldn't. I was fortunate, I had a great relationship. So it does come with help. And so we moved out here and started this company. It was 2011, our first year in business, and we had some great, great success. And I'll kind of get to what I was saying, year 3, when things kind of aligned for me. We had some tremendous growth, which is because it was hands-on. I was here every day. It was kind of that mom-and-pop shop. And then I'll tell you what, year 3, we had a little expansion year 2. Year 3, man, I just became someone I really didn't like. You know, you have those, you're just kind of, you're wearing every hat. You're mad at your employees. You're telling one of those things like, I heard something once, and it hit like a ton of bricks. And the guy was like, are you pissed off at your employees? Are you sick and tired of them doing the wrong things or just going through a whole checklist? And he's like, guess what? He's like, it's your fault. And I was just like, dang, you know, I was like, dang, that hit me like a ton of bricks. He's right. He's like, you know, this is your fault. This is a leadership problem, and you need to figure it out. And you know, it was so direct, and it took me back. But so I kind of went on a journey. But hearing little messages like those, kind of went on a journey. I was like, man, I need to find somebody who has go where I want to go. And I think this is the curse of a small business owner, right? Is they stay in their four walls. I see this even in my town, which has sparked me to do what you. We'll talk about that in a minute. But so year 3, man, I hired a coach, and swallowed my pride. I've never had a mentor in my life, right? To be honest with you, leadership, all those words. I had a really bad relationship with those words because here I was in school, you know, the stories you tell yourself, good athlete, all these things came natural. I was a leader. I didn't know. Hell, I cut corners all the time, like, you know, which led me to get in trouble too because I was cutting corners and I wasn't putting the work in. But so for year 3, it was like finding a coach. I need help. I don't know how to lead people. I'm mad at every employee, and I'm just like, instead of being direct with them, I'm like, I'll just do it later. And I'm pissed off, you know. So hired a great mentor, and he kind of showed me the way. So that's how the vision was set. And that's what, you know, here we are fast forward 14 years later, almost. I've really followed the blueprint of somebody who's done it before me. And I think that's where people get in their own way, and or they quit. They quit their business because they can't handle, their ego gets in the way, and they're not willing to learn from other people. This is the way I've always done it. So that was an eye-opener day for me. Hiring a mentor, hiring somebody who's been there in my field. I'm not saying you can't hire somebody else, who just somebody you respect, who's built a business.
Right.
That was the father figure I needed. And I'm so disrespectful to my stepdad, who I don't talk to anymore. I didn't really have a father figure or somebody like really, and not for his fault. Like, I was a hard worker. Both my parents, super, super hard workers. They did everything they could, but you know, you don't know what you don't know. We've heard it before. So for me, it was more of just finding that mentor and just really Then I just noted out. I said, how does anyone else not know about this? So I was ready to receive the message.
Well, and one of the things that I've learned hanging around you is you are the quintessential example of what I call business continuity. And that is to say that you create something from the very beginning. And I can't tell you how many people I've interviewed that they start literally from, I call the kitchen table. And literally, I've got one client that they literally hung the kitchen table on the wall. Literally, that's where they started from. And they're in the billions of dollars now. Okay. I can't tell you the number of people, and you represent that group of people who start with absolutely nothing and then build it. That is a model that I think we would like to think is what the American model is. I'm not sure that that happens very often, but you are a living example and hopefully an inspiration to people that listen to this. Let's fast forward a little bit now. Tell us about your business now, and then I'm going to go back and ask you about what it took to get from where your business is now versus that time in 2010, 2011 when you were starting to roll. So what? Tell us about your business now.
Yeah, like present day, it's funny. I was talking to my daughter yesterday. It kind of sticks out. You know, when I first started, I thought I wanted to train all pro athletes, right? Being a former college ball player for one semester, you kind of fall out. I thought I was going to train athletes. That was kind of what was happening to me during college. I started training high level football players, baseball players too, like pro guys. So I thought that was my path. And now if you were to ask me, looking where we're at now, I'm degree, we do have pro athletes who come in the summer. We do have people you've heard of come through our doors. And you realize for me, I always thought that would make a certain level of success, right? Certain famous people come to your doors. But what you realize, it's this been the journey of getting here. Like, that's cool. Don't get me wrong. But it's the substance every day. It's your community, the people coming in you work with day in and day out. And it's the work you put in. Like, our trainers day, I send my guys out all over the world to learn from the best. When I say world, I mean the United States. But we fly out to go learn from the best. We go to physical therapist conferences. We go to people who are the head biomechanist. And we go to Miami to go learn from these guys. I go too, because and that's why I think you get the buy-in from your team. It's like, you know what, I'm still the owner. My job is to make sure create these guys opportunities, but I'm still there with them. And I think that's heavy. I think a lot of business owners, you know, as you achieve a certain level of success, you think you don't need to be on the floor or... Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying, you know, and I've done this in my business, Dave, as you know, a lot of good, you know, good. I think people, I'm trying to create opportunities for other people, and I'm very aware of that. But this place makes me happy, and I'm still here, and I've replaced myself, but I love
good
being
for you.
Here. And I think it is, because I hear it from members all the time. I'm not a spring chicken. I'm one of the oldest guys who works at our gym. All these guys are in their 20s, and it's awesome. Just see them grow and make careers. And as I shared with you earlier, I had to go through that mess, and people were like, I'm a mess, but I had to go through those growing pains of, man, Chris, we need a real job. Wow. So it's kind of my purpose, I feel like, in my industry to show kids that there is, you can make a good living, especially in San Diego, California. You got to make quite a bit of money. And for any kid or parent who's listening to us, who maybe their kid's path is being a trainer, and you're kind of forcing them out of it, they can make a career doing this. And you can make six figures doing this. I have trainers and coaches who do it. And yeah, do they work hard? They sure do, but they live a pretty good lifestyle. They're in your 20s. And so that fires me up, because you're creating, it's not about the money. It's really about happiness. I can't think of a job, as you know, if you have a coach yourself, there's nothing, going to your studio and going to your work with your trainer is one of the greatest parts of most people's day. And that's something I take pride in. I still train Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 6 a.m. to about 11, because it fills me up. I'll do this the rest of my life. Just like you will help people till, I mean, you're the same way. Like, you're talking the same cloth as far as like, you want to help your clients, and you always do that. So, I got off track a little bit, but
no, you're spot on. You're spot on. You were giving yourself trouble because you're ADD or ADHD or, you know, what have you. Dan Sullivan, a strategic coach who I like to quote all the time because he's been a major influence in my life, said, you can't be an entrepreneur unless you're ADHD or ADD. He said, that's a requirement. And my reason for bringing that up is I think at the end of the day, you have to, or I would offer that you have to figure yourself out. You have to figure out what it is that you're good at, what your skills are. And from that, if you go into that arena, or I call it the ship channel that you're navigating down, you will build your passion for what you're doing. Again, I hear folks at, you know, at commencement time telling people to follow your passion. I think a better approach is to say, go figure out who you are and what you do best. You're, again, Dan Sullivan, your unique ability. By doing that, you will find your passion. It may not be where you think you're going, but you go find what you do best and what you're really good at, and continue to narrow and narrow and narrow it down. It will become your passion. You found it, and it's obvious through your exuberance in the conversations that we're having today. So if you're now 44, you were talking about when you got into this business. If you were talking to yourself 20 years ago, what would you say to that person?
Man, I would just say, keep going. You're doing great. I would say, you're doing great, and quit comparing yourself to other people. You're you. You kind of just touched on with Dan Sullivan, what you just said. You're you. You have your unique gifts. And I wish you could say that, but you just got to go on your own journey to figure it out. And I heard that when I was younger. I'm like, man, but also I say that to you. So those are the things I'd say to answer your question. I would just like, you're doing great, man. Keep going. Keep making mistakes. You're going to figure this thing out.
Now, what do your prospective customers look like now versus 20 years ago? You touched on a little bit. You wanted to have professional athletes, you thought. But what is it you look like? And the second question will be, what do you hope to leave with them? We're going to get back to this mind, body, and business talk here in a minute. Please.
So, David, all my clients are business owners. Mm-hmm. Every one of them are business owners.
Interesting. Did not realize that. That's great.
Yeah, I'm trying to think just if I'm missing anybody in there. But
why do you think that is? Is there a reason?
Yeah, I think you attract that, right? Like, we attract that.
There you go.
You said it. I tell you what, and going back to what you were talking about 20 years ago, the things you think are important, like, that just are important. Like, you're so focused on your looks. And I'll never forget, David, but hopefully it's a funny story. Someone thinks, I'll never forget this. I was really good at selling memberships, but I wasn't willing. They moved me up to personal training manager, personal training. I was struggling horribly at it. I was so bad at it. I was a good car salesman because I was trained to sell, but personal training was so much more of a connection. I'd have done great if someone handed me clients, but that doesn't work that way. But so I started selling them, and I'll never forget the chubbiest trainer at the gym, the most successful. This is Albuquerque, New Mexico, so take what it's worth. Anyway, this amazing gentleman who bring McDonald's in and smoke cigarettes. So that, it's not too much. But the guy was a character, but he had this great personality, and he was really thoughtful. He's like, he knew I was down one day and was kind of like, hey, you okay, dude? And I just told him, hey, man, I'm just sucking some personal training. I think I might get either demoted or they're going to move me along the company. And he's like, I think I know what your problem is. He's like, have you ever hired a personal trainer? And I was just like, no. And he's like, well, you're going to hire me and I'm going to be your trainer. You're going to pay me what you can afford. And he figured it out. It was weird. I think it was just one of those weird moments because he wasn't the smartest guy in the world. But it wasn't until I bought my own trainer, or invested in my own trainer. Invested in my own trainer that it finally clicked. And so I think there's those fork in the road moments where I share that story with all of my staff, right? You got to be vulnerable with your team and you didn't really talk about this in the journey of going to business in 14 years. The greatest thing you can do in leadership, in my opinion, is be vulnerable. You need to be confident, but when you're not vulnerable with your team, you're just so unrelatable. And I've been there. It's like, Larry, I wouldn't say put you on a pedestal, but they look at you in a different light. And you're vulnerable and you share a story I just shared with you. So if you're any owner out there listening to this, be vulnerable, man. Like, that's how you relate. You want your staff want your team to pour it, be honest with you and stay longer. Be vulnerable with them and share your struggles with them. You don't even have a soapbox and tell them your story, but things that are relatable for them. So that's just one big thing I've learned over the years, Dave, that's really helped me. Every time I open up more, I seem that they're a little bit more into the job. So anyway, I thought I'd share that.
What do you know? That is super. What is the goal? What do you hope to leave with these business owners? The mindset, the body set, the business set. What are you hoping that they can take away that you have left an indelible mark? Because you may train, but what you do is far more significant. I should say far more impactful, if I can say it that way. Because people are around you and they're attracted to your enthusiasm, but they're attracted to the mindset you're trying to leave with them. Can you explain a little bit of that?
Totally. We all know, again, it's one of those stories you share. I will say, I think even the successful business owners are trained, because some of these guys run some unbelievable companies you've heard of. And you know what? They still need, we all need to be poured into. And it's just a belief. I think sometimes people need to believe. I think certain times when someone achieves a certain level of success, and when it steers into the flow, I'm going with this, hopefully not too long-winded, but when you achieve a certain level of success, sometimes these guys, business gets boring for them. Like, they kind of lose their, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Dave, your successful career. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced, you get burned out and you kind of like, I've already, you know, you've achieved the top, right? It's the, mm-hmm. the saying is it's lonely at the top. And I say as a 44-year-old, you know, successful business owner, it is lonely at the top. And I think these guys were reminded, I think I poured into them. They are somebody, it's the, you're not defined by your work, you're defined on the person you are. And I think I remind them of that, of like, of just being human and having fun. Because I think some of these guys are, they have to be somebody for everybody. I think I remind them of just having fun. So I think my number one takeaway from Mike for clients that I train is reminding them, hey, you know what? You're great, man. You don't need the titles. I think I strip that away because they can speak to me. So again, I'm saying this particularly to business owners. I think I just remind them of what's important in life and what's family and friends and relationships. It's relationships. People aren't replaceable in your life. I think that's what I want them to remember me is that what's important. Who's important and what's important in your life and not what you do.
To your point, there's that the roles we fill, especially I see this, I deal a lot with in-house counsel too. There's the company they work for, the office that they hold, and then the individual. And it becomes an issue of, can you feed all three of those roles? Mm. But at the same time, you have roles, but you're an individual. And how much do you feed yourself? People from time to time, I can see them, they get lonely, okay? And everybody does. What you hope they avoid is they don't have the feeling of being alone, if that makes sense. Because if you're lonely, you can figure out what to do. But if you're alone, you're isolated, you may not be able to. So I'm always concerned with business owners with clients in the business world. Where do they position themselves, to your point? And I think you raise really great insight of, you know, we're not, this is not Ben-Hur. We're not rowing for the glory of Rome and chained to an oar. You know, life should not be like this. Let's be more expansive and figure out how to solve all the problems. Our mutual friend, Mr. Todd Durkin, has the wheel of all the things you need to fill in your life. And I think as business people, we all get caught up in the efficacy of doing business and push off some of the other things. And I'm speaking for myself in that regard. Who would be, this is kind of an interesting question for you, I hope. Who would be a bad prospect for your business, a bad customer that you wouldn't want to have?
In this day, without picking on a particular group, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really like that influencer mentality in here. Like, we are a high-end gym. We have, I mean, my wife's best friend's an influencer. She's amazing. She's a mom influencer, so it's about moms and kids. But, you know, when you start putting out, that's just not our mark.
Right.
I think what's cool to answer your question is, like, you come in this place, there's a certain vibe that our gym, and every place has. It's good or bad, indifferent, whatever. Our gym has a vibe when you come in here. It's a certain energy. And you know if this place is for you. And we really weed out, and I don't mean to sound like but you know immediately this is not the place for you. So we'll get those influencers who come in here. These people, it's all about themselves, because you just get the vibe when you walk in. It's a team. It's a team here. And so there's two, your Google reviews will tell people about you, right? And so we love it. We just got one yesterday. Just like, man, I'm in tears reading this lady's Google review. And I'm like, man. So you reach. So that's what our gym's for. It's more community. It is, again, you touched on it earlier. What do your clients need from you? Every person needs a different version of you. And it's up to you to figure out what version. And be authentic. You know, I'm always authentic to myself. Every person is going through a different, they need something else from you. And that's what I just love. We talked about earlier, training athletes. You know, that's what I thought my path was. And I'm being honest, I've been pretty boring in my beginning because I love training all kinds of different people. Everyone is so different. And that's what inspires me and fires me up to come to work every day. And I'm so grateful. Like you said, we know so many people who, you know, the clients you deal with every day, a lot of these people aren't happy. And so I'm so fortunate to work around people every day who are happy to be here. They're happy to see me. And I think that's just a gift that I can't put a price tag on. So I feel very blessed to do what I do, David. And, you know, blessed to know you, man. I'm blessed to be I'm glad to get to work with you in such a cool way that we get to. I think another thing too, heard this from our good friend Todd Durkin today. don't forget who you are. And again, I think this kind of goes back to what I was saying about even my business clients I train, but it is mind, body, spirit. These guys, I could do all the coolest squats in the world, do some crazy stuff they've never seen before. I'm trying to keep this PG. But you know, you can tell them to do some crazy shit, squats, whatever. They don't care.
Right.
You can give them the best workout. This is what I tell my coaches, I'll tell the guys, they don't care. You could go spend $10,000 on a 2-week course, but if your soul's not into their session and you're not in it with them, what are you doing? It doesn't matter. It's just more about that. So I think business owners and people in general, as business owners, they kind of forget, they lose their way, they forget who they are and what made them get here. And I've definitely struggled with that a little bit. It's like, hey, if I want to continue to grow my business and be successful, man, I've got to reinvent myself. I just think most small business owners, they're not willing to do that. And they kind of, you get comfortable. That's why I love being in a group with you.
It's a dangerous thing. Yeah. Dangerous thing. So let's do this. Let's do a little prognostication. You're now 65 years old. What does your life look like?
Wow, 65. I like this. One of my close friends who's opening up a restaurant. I just sat with a gentleman 65 years young.
Mm-hmm.
He's opening up he owns a chain. He was a partner in Mossroads Restaurants. He's a partner. He's one of my, like, I consider him a family. He's 65. They're opening up a new one in Del Mar over here called State 48. And I'm going to go see him on Saturday. So it's a soft opening, right? And it hit me like a ton of bricks to answer your question. How would I think I'm 65? I looked at him and I was like, this is it. I want to be growing. And Dave, I don't know if that's in this business. I think I will always own a part of this business because I just love it. And it's my passion. But when I'm 65, I see myself working part-time. I think I'm still training a few days a week right now. I still think I'm deeply involved in real estate. I don't want to touch on that today. But I'll probably own a few more properties. And hopefully when I'm 65, I'll be working at some capacity with my kids. If that's their vision, I would love that, to be involved with some way, shape, or fashion. Because I'm very close with my kids, but we know that changes. They're 9 and 7. So yeah, I would love that. I hope both of my kids are living close by, just like my buddy. And I'm still in business. I'm still doing business in some capacity. So love that question. Thanks for making me think.
Well, I'm happy to do it. Let's do this. You've now talked about the very beginning. You've talked about the end. And what is significant, and thank you again for appearing, is you are my first business continuity speaker to talk about the beginning through this point of your life and then what you could see coming up at the end of your life. Obviously, there are things that will come up and maybe new avenues. But what would be, at this point, you're 44, what would be the top three things you would want any business owner to know about starting from literally nothing, literally growing it to this point and beyond? What would be the three things you would want to leave them with?
If I was starting a business from scratch, I'd hire a coach, number one, immediately.
Okay.
Game changer. Hire a coach in your particular field who's been there, done it. Not somebody you saw on Instagram or Facebook,
right?
Pitching your course, right? You got to do some deal. That'd be number one. Number two is, I think, a really deep dive on yourself. I think that's something everyone gets backward. You need to know who you are first. You need to do a 100 different personality tests. I mean, I'm saying, like, there's 5 good ones out there that I make all of our team do.
Mm-hmm.
Personality. You need to know you, because you're the problem. You're also the solution, and you got to figure that shit out, right? And then the third one, I think growing people. So that comes from just probably the first one, but I think your ability to grow your company and not make it about you. So systems, let's say number three. Yeah, I guess on the spot, you're putting the spot, damn it, I like it. But I would say number three is developing your systems from the start. Those are probably the three most critical things that I see people screw up. And I've screwed all three of those, you know. I didn't get a mentor till year three, and had I done that, that would have saved me. I mean, it was like time work, right? When I had a coach, like, everything, like, clicked. And I was lucky, and some of these people, someone who's listening to this, who's thinking about opening up a business, might get lucky in the beginning. I did. I got lucky, right time, right? There's a gym closing down the street. So there's a lot of luck that, you know, what's old say, there's so many quotes about getting lucky, and working hard, you're going to get lucky. But those are the three things, because if you don't have those, I mean, those are tough hurdles to overcome.
Great, great, great insight. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you met the quintessential business continuity entrepreneur. A lot of the things that we've talked about in prior podcasts deal with the exit and succession planning process. This was supposed to be, and I think we hit on all cylinders, how to go from cradle to grave. What it looks like as you're going down this road, you're going to find some great tips. Chris, thanks so much again. How can people reach out to you to get to know you and obtain some of your wisdom?
I say this, Dave, respect. Thank you for having me on, number one. Number two, well, I've made every mistake in the book. And I think that's what more people need to hear about, because everyone puts you even in our town. Oh, it must be nice, right? Every business owner has heard that. Must be nice, man. His parents must have helped him out, or I assure you. My family, yeah. We didn't live where we did, and we didn't have a lot of help. And you can figure it out. And something I've learned really quick is people always make the hang up about money, especially where I grew up in a small town, Midwest.
Right.
A small town, it's like, hey, man, how did you get the money? If you're confident, you learn about yourself, all the things we just talked about, those three takeaways, the money will be there. If people believe in you, like, that stuff is so much easier than you make it out to be, because I massively struggle with that. But anyway, so I say that I've made every stake in the book, and hopefully that little nugget there helps somebody, because I know I needed to hear that too. But best way to get a hold of me, for those of you on Instagram, my handle, it's just my gym, really easy, at Coronado Fitness. My personal one is C as in Chris, and an underscore, and it's footing, FOOTIE. And then those are the two best ways to get a hold of me. My email is personal, pretty straightforward, chris@coronadofitnessclub.com. But I'm here to anyone has any questions or just like where to start, or, you know, I'm all ears, man, right? Shoot me away. I am one of those people. I love nerding out and talking business with people, because I will learn about other businesses. So,
fantastic. Thank you so much. If you are in search of assistance, please go to davesider.com or visit me at spencerfain.com to schedule a consultation. If you would, please subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave me a comment on your favorite podcast platform, such as Spotify or Apple. Thanks to Chris. Thanks to you all. Until the next time, be safe. This podcast is provided for educational purposes, and it does not constitute legal advice and is not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in this podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business in determining the best course of action. Business owners should consult with an attorney on their distinct circumstances.